if I can, I'd like to begin with some really good news, some really encouraging news. I want to share something that hugely encourages me. I pray it will hugely encourage you. To most of you, none of this will be new news. But it always does me good to be reminded of it and to hear it again. And I'm sure the same is true for you. I suspect in days, months, years ahead, you will need to remind me of this. And I will need to remind you of this. Because it's something I don't think we should ever get weary of hearing and being told. And that is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is bearing fruit throughout the whole world. The good news of Jesus is bearing fruit throughout the whole world. We're a time of year, harvest, when whether you're a keen gardener, allotmenter, that's not even a word, but allotmenter, hedge forager, or you just noticed that nearby there's some fields and sometimes some tractors go up and down the road. But we're at that time of year, aren't we, harvest, where we're giving thanks for the fruit of the land. And it's, if you like, a little visual reminder this time of year that the gospel bears fruit. Not fruit that you can eat, but the fruit of people. The gospel of Jesus is bearing fruit throughout the whole world. The gospel harvest is happening all times of year, not just at one moment in the year. Jesus is rescuing people. He's taking them out of a kingdom of darkness, a place of sin, and bringing them into the light, his kingdom. And he's doing that because he counted the cost to pay the price for our forgiveness. The gospel of Jesus is bearing fruit throughout the whole world. And we can give thanks and rejoice in that today, just as Paul was doing that all those years ago when, probably in a prison cell, likely in Rome, he penned this letter we call Colossians. And maybe, just maybe, as he starts writing this letter, Paul is giving even more thanks than usual, rejoicing even more than usual. Why? Because I just wonder if the news about what was happening in Colossae was just that bit more exciting. Yes, there's been wonderful works happening in all those places Paul had been, all those places where he'd spoken of Jesus and shared faith, all those places where he'd started churches. But you see, Colossae, Paul had never been there. He'd never met the Colossians. He'd never shared his faith there, and he'd never started a church there. So what does that mean? It means that probably some of what he did in Ephesus has spread out. It's likely that Epaphras, who we hear about in verse 7, was there in Ephesus, and he took the message of Jesus to Colossae. And it's been bearing fruit. Lives changed for Jesus. Just listen again to what has reached Paul's ears. Verse 3. We always thank God. It's worth noting, we always say it's Paul's letter to the Colossians. Paul and Timothy's letter to the Colossians. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring up from the hope stored for you in heaven, and about which you've already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. The message of Jesus has hit home in the hearts of those in Colossae. This isn't just people praying a believer's prayer. It's not just people ticking a box on a form under religious beliefs. It's not just popping along to church or to church events. Paul is saying this is about a deepening faith in Jesus, a widening love for all of God's people, and a strengthening hope in heaven. I really long for that to be a description of us here at St. Luke's more and more in the days, the weeks, the months, the years ahead. And the wonderful thing is, what was happening in Colossae was not a one-off. Now Paul goes on, verse 6, he says, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. That is our encouragement this morning. Because it's not stopped happening. In Paul's day, the gospel of Jesus bearing fruit and growing throughout the world. Today, The gospel of Jesus is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. So I wonder if this morning I can just tell you some stories. First one, Friday night, we were in the Memorial Hall. We were doing a Cornerstone camp reunion and barbecue, an opportunity to get the campers from the summer back in and include their families. Setting up, moving. Oh, I say I was moving chairs. I was standing still. Julie, our church warden, married to Russ, was moving the chairs, and she stopped and said, "Tom, I need to pull my party popper with you." Now, most of you will go, "You what? That makes no sense." That's normal. Let me tell you that I think it was over a year ago, we were in Luke 15. We were thinking about lost things being found and that desire to be rejoicing in people encountering Jesus, of sinners coming to repentance. And I handed out at one of the services a pile of party poppers and encouraged people to write a name of somebody they knew who they were praying would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. To write that person's name in and then not to pull it. Not to pull it until that person had become a Christian. Suddenly, Julie's phrase makes a lot more sense. And that's why there was a massive grin on my face on Friday evening. Or what about the story at Cornerstone Camp up at Topstones in the summer? One of the campers, the first morning we were there, just didn't really want to engage in anything. Any of the activities we were doing, just kind of got a feel like, this is not for me. By the end, they were saying that they wanted to follow Jesus. And we watched them worship with a few others for half an hour. Well, let me tell you about Nigel. Nigel from New Zealand. Nigel from New Zealand, I think, probably about three Sundays ago, was here at our 10:45 service. He's a brother of a member of the congregation and had been brought along. Not yet a Christian. It was the week when we were in Psalm 23. At the end of the service, do you know what? With a few others, he prayed a believer's prayer and was filled with the Holy Spirit. He's now back in New Zealand. We're trying to get him plugged into a local church. The gospel is bearing fruit throughout the world. But it's not just New Zealand. Let me tell you about Hungary. 2 years ago in the summer, we were joined by a new family from Hungary. The son was just starting A-levels at sixth form college in town. And they were with us for a few weeks. It was a joy to get to know them. They had the most incredible smiles always. A real encouragement. And then just suddenly they disappeared. They had to rush back to Hungary for all sorts of reasons. And, you know, in some ways it was lovely to get to know them, but sad not to really help them to plug into the life here in church. Guess who was in church last Sunday morning? They were. They were back. They were visiting just for 1 week and they wanted to come back. And they came over and they were beaming and they were hugely encouraging. They are well plugged into a church back in Hungary. And they turned around and said, "Do you know what we also do? We also watch your service online." Isn't that wonderful? The gospel's bearing fruit. Nigel in New Zealand. His family in Hungary. Can I give you one more? It's good, isn't it? Let me tell you about something that's been happening in Bangladesh. This is from a video that Open Doors, who supports work with persecuted Christians around the world. They released, I think, a couple of months ago, about a lady called Jamuna. And hopefully, Janet, you're able to pop her story on the screen for us to watch.
Since 2016, in the midst of severe persecution, I have been ministering to women. And those who hated me and insulted me are now getting to know the Lord and accepting the Lord. From 2016 up to now, I have reached around 50 to 60 women for the Lord. Now they are my good friends. They have come to know the Lord. For this, I glorify the Lord.
The gospel of Jesus is bearing fruit throughout the whole world. Julie's party popper person, the Cornerstone camper, Nigel in New Zealand, the Hungarian family, Jamuna's friends. This is the point at which I'm really brave, and maybe you want to be really brave. I might not have all the stories. So I'm just going to give a little moment, and if any of you have a story like those that you think we need to hear, I'll happily bring the microphone to you. We've heard lots of stories, so it's okay if we don't. But just in case, if there's somebody in the room who has a story that they feel we should hear. Oh, I knew there'd be one. Maybe there's two.
The last time that Dorina was here, she went up for a blessing. We subsequently bought her a Bible when we were in Cromer, and her and her mum, when they were both here, were prayed for by Rob as well. Are constantly asking questions about Jesus. So hopefully, at a distance, we've got somebody in Ukraine that's wanting to know Lord.
Amazing. How encouraging. The gospel is bearing fruit throughout the whole world. How do we respond? How are we meant to respond to that? Well, I think the first offer, Colossians 1, gives us three ways to respond. First one, we give thanks, don't we? We give thanks. Like Paul did with the Colossians, he writes verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. He sets out to pray for them and he just finds himself giving thanks for them. We give thanks to God. We rejoice. Like it says in Luke 15 verse 10, that rejoicing that's happening in the presence of the angels of God. And whilst it's important that we share those stories of how the gospel is bearing fruit, like we've just heard this morning, it's worth noting there are still many around us, those we know, those we love, who don't yet know Jesus. But it's important that we do hear the stories. It keeps us going, sharing our faith with those who don't yet know the Lord. Keeps us on our knees praying for them. I know there are some stories of the gospel bearing fruit closer to home, here in Thurnby and in the surrounding areas. And it's with that sort of sense of expectation that on Sunday, the 3rd of November, I've kind of marked that off as a baptism Sunday. We're going to have the baptism pool here, and I will happily sprinkle, splash, or dunk anybody who is saying, you know what, I've not yet been baptized, but I am a follower of Jesus now, and I want to make that public commitment. And we want to give thanks, and we want to rejoice. So if that's you, please speak to me. Or if you know somebody in church, actually, who's recently come to faith or has never been baptized, then they just need to be. Okay, this is the Holy Spirit-inspired elbow to which you nudge them. Okay? We give thanks. The gospel of Jesus is bearing fruit throughout the whole world. We give thanks. The second thing we do is we speak up. In verse 7, we hear, don't we, of Epaphras. Paul calls him our dear fellow servant, a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Here is a man who's been faithfully ministering Jesus, helping people in Colossae to know Jesus, to grow in Jesus. He's the one who shared their story with others. His ministry has continued in those very ordinary moments of life. It's continued in the painful, upsetting moments of life, in the uncertain, confusing, frustrating moments of life. Here's the thing, Epaphras wouldn't have been the only one doing it in the church in Colossae. Just as I can't and shouldn't be the only one doing it here in the life of St. Luke's, there's always room for a few more voices up the front here at St. Luke's to minister Jesus Christ. We do it in our one another ministry, but we also do it in the upfront ministries as well. Which is why on Sunday the 29th of September, we mark that one as an ignition Sunday. Maybe you remember back to last summer. I think we did two ignition evenings. It's an invitation where we say, if you've never really done much up the front, never spoken at the front, it's an opportunity for you to have a go at a 5-minute Bible talk. The thing is, every Christian has a sermon in them, because every Christian has a story of God at work in their lives. And maybe it's just a little nudge to have a go. Jock, you did one last year, didn't you? Russ did one. I'm looking around. Others did them. If you want to know a little bit more, chat to them. I would love to have some from this congregation come up here at the 8:45 on the 29th of September and do that. And some from the 10:45 congregation as well. So my question for you this morning is that, could that be you? You might have to be very brave, but you will get all the support, all the encouragement that you need for that. The gospel of Jesus is bearing fruit throughout the world. We give thanks. We keep speaking up, not just at the front of church, but in our lives, day to day with those around us, ministering Jesus to others. Third one, our response. We keep praying. Because of what Jesus has done in the life of the Colossians, Paul bursts into prayer in verse 9. He says, "For this reason, because of your deepening faith, your widening love, your strengthening hope in heaven, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." Now, if these verses were a cake, they would be Rocky Road, because it's absolutely jammed, packed with all sorts of treats for us to discover. There's a lot in these verses. And my encouragement to you would be, have a look again a couple of times this week at this prayer of Paul's in verses 9 to 14 to take it in. Home groups are going to be studying Colossians, so you'll have an opportunity if you're in a home group to kind of dig a bit deeper. But what is at the heart of Paul's prayer? Well, it's God filling them with the knowledge of his will, knowing what God likes by knowing what God is like. And it's not just so that the Christians in Colossae or Christians around us, we have bigger brains and can use bigger theological words. No, it serves a very practical purpose. Verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Lives lived fully pleasing to Jesus. What does that look like? I think there are four things. It means bearing fruit in every good work, knowing the Lord has good work for ye and for me today, tomorrow, the week ahead. Work that is both seen and unseen. Work that feels very ordinary. Work that feels more exciting. Opportunities to display Christ-like character and attitudes. It's growing in the knowledge of the Lord, growing to know the Lord better and better. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. So do you know what we do? We open up the Spirit-inspired Bible and we listen and we apply. We meditate, we live out. We're to be Bible open, Bible reading, Bible living people. Verse 11, we're to be strengthened. Strengthened so that we might have great endurance and patience. Strengthened to keep going. We need God's power and might at work in us because life's challenging. And life following Jesus is even more challenging. And sometimes the challenges come our way and we are challenged. We need his strength to keep going. And then we give joyful thanks, verse 12, to the Father. Do you know where the greatest amount of thankfulness per square meter should be in the whole world? It is wherever Christians gather. We are to be the most thankful people. If we've really grasped something of the gospel, we are really understanding Jesus, then there is to be an overflow of joyful thanks. Why? Well, verse 12 goes on, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. You and I, we're very used to earning our qualifications, aren't we? Passing exams, taking assessments, performance reviews. When it comes to being God's people, that's not how it works. It says he has qualified us to be part of the kingdom of the Son that the Father loves. It's a gift. It's a gift we receive. It's not something that we earn. That's the source of joyful thanks. The big thing this morning I want you to be encouraged by is that the gospel is bearing fruit throughout the whole world. We give thanks. We keep speaking. And we keep praying. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus is continuing to rescue people from darkness, to bring them into light, into your kingdom. Thank you that you are qualifying people through him, redeeming them, forgiving them. Thank you for the stories that we've heard. Help us to give thanks. Help us to speak up. Help us to keep praying. Would you again fill us with your Holy Spirit? Amen.